while the world whizzes by. Enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee, then add your choice of a mouth-watering hot breakfast sandwich and a crispy golden hash brown and your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah.
All for $6, all just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle. Available at your neighborhood Tim Hortons. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
All right, everybody, settle down, settle down. It is time for the final session, the senior year of the Umbrella Podcademy. I'm one of your teachers, Alex.
And I'm the bad kid that sits in the back. And if you thought I was bad before, wait till you see me with senioritis. I'm Justin.
What's up? I'm Pete.
And we are going to be talking about Umbrella Academy Season 4, it's Episode back. 1. The unbearable tragedy of getting what you want. The final season premiere of The Umbrella Academy on Netflix. If you haven't watched it, go watch it because we're going to spoil it right now.
And real quick, just before you get into it, for those of you that don't know, Alex is in full Mrs. Doubtfire getup when he does this intro. And he slowly peels it off over the course of the podcast.
It's horrifying. It's hot, though. It's hot. It's like 90 degrees outside. I can't wear this forever.
Rest in peace, Robin Williams.
It was a drive-by fruiting, but we're going to take our time talking about this show because we're going to say goodbye to it with the shortest season ever, 6 episodes instead of 10. They're all out now. But we're going to go one by one and take our sweet little time with it.
Yeah, I got to each morsel, just savor it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'd like to start by saying I'm so happy the show is back. When you start a new season of something, there's a little nervous energy. For me, I was just like, oh man, I can't wait to see the gang, Klaus and everybody. It's a fun show. It's an insane show, but they have great characters on this show. So I was excited. Plus the new addition of Gene and Jean. What a last hurrah to go out on.
Well, hold on. Just brief bit of recap about the episode, just in case people are listening to this later. So there's actually a fair amount of recap right at the top of the episode, but really all you need to know is the members of the Umbrella Academy are in a new timeline where they're powerless, and Reginald Hargreaves, with his wife, who is now alive, is not exactly in charge of the entire world, but he's the biggest, most powerful businessman.
He's the elite.
In the entire world. And after that little bit, picking up from the end of the last season where everybody separated, we're about, 5 years down the road?
Six years down the road.
Where they're all doing their own thing. They've kept in touch, and ultimately over the course of the episode, they get back together for a birthday party. Diego and Lila have kids now, so one of their kids, Grace, is having a birthday party. They get back together for that. Victor gets kidnapped by David Cross, and they get back David together Cross. For that again to
playing
see
himself.
Victor playing, yes, basically himself. By the end of the episode, they all probably have their powers back based on some shenanigans from Ben. And a little note about Ben. This is, if you forgot, a alternate universe Ben from the previous season who is not the same Ben who died before the show even started.
But it is great to see Ben get his due because he was missing for a lot of the show. So it's nice to see a heavy Ben last season because we didn't get the Ben that we were denied him.
We should also say importantly, this is not the Ben that Klaus had the spirit of in his had a relationship with. So I think that is going to be a factor going forward, I would say. Before we get into it though, man, just turning this episode on and going like, wow, all the stuff in the hotel, the wild turnabouts that happened, it was really nice to just be back in this world. And I will say, the part about the marigolds and the machine, I was like, did I watch this?
Yeah,
it felt like, so foreign.
I will tell you, I remember all the stuff with the machine. I haven't gone back and watched it, but I feel like they added a line there. Because I don't remember anybody mentioning marigold, and then suddenly, like, towards the end of the episode, when they pull out that glaring jar, and everybody's like, oh, marigold, that's marigold, I know what marigold is. I was like, Do we? Have you ever mentioned this before?
From that floating star or whatever was in the basement, it almost looked like the same kind of color as that.
They have hinted at it before. I'm 100% sure of that. Where you saw Hargreaves on his alien planet or whatever, I don't think that's been specified, letting this Marigold go, which caused the simultaneous birth of all of these kids who formed the Umbrella Academy. The assumption is that it gave them powers. And we saw him sucking those same particles out of everybody at the end of last season to power his machine, which, if I remember correctly, they were like, how dare you? You're never going to use that machine to change the timelines. And then they killed him by slicing his head. And then Allison was like, we should use this machine to change the timelines. They're like, good idea. Go for it. And then she did it. So there was a lot of back and forth about that, but I really don't remember everybody being on board with the name of these particles as Marigold. And we know they give us superpowers.
Maybe
there's a little Mandela effect going on there, or Marigoldala effect.
Oh, there we go. Look at that, huh?
Well, and that's a cool idea. If they, because that's what's happening in the show. That's what this plot of the season. It's definitely like a Mandela effect thing. They call it the Umbrella effect. What a great way to sort of play that, to show us by doing it to us.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. I think that's cool if that's what happened. But I definitely was like shocked by that stuff in the machine, especially because then when we got to them walking out into the garden and it's 2019, they don't have their powers. I was like, yes. And Hargreaves is watching with his wife above. It's like, I remember all that. That one little bit, definitely, I really identified with all of the folks in that big weird meeting with the jeans.
Yeah. You wanted to slip in those jeans, is what you were saying?
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean. Nice.
Wrong podcast to bring that up. But talking about the jeans, what a delightful surprise at the beginning of the season. And I say surprise because they put it out there that was not actually a surprise. But we get Nick Offerman and Megan Mullally, the absolute best
couple
in comedy, playing Jean Thibodeau and Jean Thibodeau with different spellings.
Delightful. So funny. Every time she touches his face, it's hysterical. Those mutton chops are glorious. I mean, it's comedy gold. It's Marigold comedy.
Now, as a mutton chop man for many years, Alex, did you really see yourself on screen when you...
First time I saw myself on screen, I identified with Nick Offerman watching Parks and Rec because I like bacon, and I identified with him here because of the mutton chops. And I also identify with the fact that we're both very attracted to Megan Mullally.
Whoa. That got weird at the end. That got real weird at the end.
What a connection. What a way to see yourself on screen.
If I ever meet him in person, I'll tell him that. It'll be you like, should. Oh, we're, you should. We have a connection. You might not know about.
Oh, my God.
I see what it's like when you walk up to a stranger and tell them something out of nowhere and intimate. It's a move. It's a mood. I'm going to say, when are we going to get the supercut of all the shows that Megan Mullally and Nick Offerman have appeared together on? Because that list is getting big, and that's wild.
As it should, Ben.
Yeah, imagine getting to just go to work with your partner all the time, and like, it feels like they're the same people on camera, off camera, at the dinner table, hanging out. They are just, they seem like such a delightful...
Ex-wife bit, it was just so funny on Parks and Rec. I mean, the two of them would just kill me. Every Tammy 2 that she played, oh, my God.
Well, and this is part of enjoying them as a couple and enjoying watching them on screen. It makes it very hard to frame them up as villains in my mind, particularly because I know they kill a guy and they steal a bunch of stuff from him at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah, they do.
But as the episode unfolds, we see Lila and Five getting in the middle. They're going undercover in this keepers meeting, people who believe they're in the wrong timeline. And
it's a real thing.
Right? They're Gene and Gene are 100% correct. And that gives a weird imbalance to the season, or at least this episode to me, where I'm like, well, they're correct. Why are we trying to stop them? The Umbrella Academy is not like, ooh, we got to stop these people from knowing the thing that also we kind of want to happen as well. I don't know. I'm curious to see where it goes, I guess, is my point.
But I think they are set up for great villains.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of reminds me of the great duos of the past. Perhaps a Cha-Cha, Pete.
Oh, wow. Look perhaps at you.
I feel like the Umbrella Academy does best when there's a little bit of distance between Hargreaves complicates things so much and it makes everyone muddy. And I love when they just have a couple of straight up villains that they have to be tangling with.
Well, also what's interesting is we might get, you know, because all we've seen so far is like Robot Mom and then like some flashback stuff. So I'd be interested if we got to see, get to kind of spend some time with their mom. Which
do you think you're going to like Mom or Robot Mom better?
I don't know. I have a strong connection to Robot Mom a little bit, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You've always wanted a robot mommy.
Yeah, and I guess we don't know what the relationship is between Reginald and his wife since we've gotten one tidy little shot of it, and then we see some surveillance footage of them in this episode. So that should be interesting to follow. We also, before I forget, didn't we see it was either Cha-Cha or the other guy's mask? Yes. In the box
that's why I referenced David Cross.
Did you freak out, Pete?
Do you think Pete, I'm your robot mommy. I'm your robot mommy.
Come on, man. We need more Mary J. in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe. It's a new timeline. Anything can happen.
I also want to say the game that the genes are playing is Euchre. That is my card game as well. So shouts to them.
You just got Euchred. Yeah. That was a great line.
They sent those dudes to Euchretown, all aboard the Euchre train.
That's insanely complicated, that game, right?
It's actually it's just counterintuitive to learn because
this is a classic fight that always happens when you bring up Euchre. There's someone who always says, "No, it's easy," and then you try to explain it, and they're like, "No, it's extremely complicated."
It actually is very easy.
Say, "Oh no, it's not complicated," but trying to learn it is insane. So please, it's just counterintuitive
because you only play with a 9 through 8.
We just triggered way too many listeners. Let's stop. Let's walk away.
You're right.
From this.
I do have two friends who constantly are like, "Oh, do you want to play some Euchre?" And everybody,
it's like, the same argument,
and they're like, yeah, exactly what you just said. No, it's super easy, we'll just explain it. And I'm forgetting the name of the book, but there's a book that I read a bunch of times in junior high school where there's some baseball players and they're playing a game called Tegwar. Do you know what book I'm talking about?
No.
So they play this card game called Tegwar, and I'll spoil what happens in whatever the name of this book is, but Tegwar is an acronym for the exciting game without any rules, and the whole point of it is that you just play it, and everybody else is in on the bit except for whoever the new guy is, so it's a hazing thing. So you just play the game, and everybody's like, okay, two aces are high, and the other guy's like, actually, I have a joker, so I'm going to take all of your cards now, and you just keep rolling with whatever it is, improv style. Every single time somebody tries to explain Euchre, that's what it feels like. You're just making up the rules off the top of your head.
That's really fun. I've never seen you two back away from something as hard as you just did when I was just saying one thing about Euchre.
I made a mistake. Pete was 100% right.
It's really funny. Speaking of Pete, did you identify at all when we see Vic in his bar and they said you blew through every woman in town? Because that's how it is for you in York, PA, right?
Oh, my God, dude. What are you doing right
you're
now?
You're a single man in a small PA town. Let's go, right?
Yeah, I wish, bro. I wish. It's nice of you to think. But, it's kind of heartbreaking with all these check-ins that we do. This guy puts the ass in astronaut was hysterical, though. I mean, that was the funniest striptease I've ever seen. You know, I mean, it's right up there with Chris Farley and, Patrick Swayze. That was hysterical.
I love Luther. I forgot how much I love Luther. Tom Hopper, I never remember which, is
giving big Glenn Powell vibes.
Yeah,
very much so. He is so funny. Just he is such an earnest doofus in everything that he does.
Yeah.
Him popping out of the ball pit.
The ball girl? Oh, my God. So funny.
Very funny.
So funny.
The only thing that I'll say, and this is nothing about him, his normal body was freaking me out the entire episode.
Agreed.
Right?
He's so thin.
Yeah, there's something missing.
Yes. Yeah, it's weird to see him in his normal body, which is weird to say out loud. But also Klaus, dude. Oh, my God. Sober Klaus is a lot to take. I feel so bad for Klaus. He's been through so much. And it's like, I don't want this guy to break his sober streak, but we need him back. You know, this isn't the Klaus we know and love. But
Sake doesn't count.
Yeah, great line there. Very Saki funny.
Doesn't go.
I worry a little bit because the show has generally done a good job with issue-based storylines, but I do wonder if they're just going to throw away Klaus's sobriety after this. That's, I don't know. Well, that's not great.
It should be interesting. I do think, you know, they're all have become extremely normal people, I think you could say. That feels like what the point is. And I think that's going to be part of their journey toward like becoming, once they get their powers back, becoming regular people who can actually be around each other as opposed to dysfunctional. Maybe that's the sort of lesson looking at they had to go through to get there. But yeah, the Klaus thing, because you sort of are like, he's much less fun.
Yeah.
As a character, but he seems much healthier, except for his sort of seeming fear of it.
Except he's scared of the world and won't leave his house. Yeah, it's tough.
I also really like the fact, and this is maybe a greater comment on the episode and hopefully the season as well, but I like the fact that Klaus was living with Allison. They are still friends. Yeah. And I also like the fact that despite everybody being like, we don't want to get back together, they do pretty quickly, which never happens on the Umbrella Academy. We've had three seasons.
Nice. At the first episode, they're like, okay, you know.
Yeah. Right, which that is such a relief. Like, and granted, we have six episodes, so maybe they certainly split up at the end of this episode, so maybe we're in for five more episodes before they get back together. But it's such an annoying part of the show that they're constantly like, we're not a team, I hate you, I'm gone, or I don't want to see that person. Here, maybe for the first time, it really felt like they are a family, and it felt like the family thing of like, I guess I should see everybody, but I'd really rather be working at my bar. So
the Where's Victor line was funny. That was a go-to thing for people. Like anytime a lonely conversation, like, where's Victor? I thought that was really, I mean, there's a lot of amazing stuff. Also, the two moms smoking in the van was such a hilarious scene. It was fun to see Allison
and
Lyle. Yeah, just like so that was such a fun scene before it got tense, and them just giggling was such a cool kind of moment.
And I would say on the sort of family of it all, this is the first time, as opposed to them just rejecting each other and pushing away, they're actually, the pull is together, like you're saying, Alex. And Allison's the weird one for not doing it. And she's resisting it. And they're all like, come on, just get her. Just tell her. So, like, that's a nice gathering rather than a rejection. Just going back a little bit, two things. How about the needle drop in this episode of You and Me, Baby Ain't Nothing But Mammals?
Oh, I was my God.
I haven't heard this song
both
once.
Both times it came on, it was amazing.
I haven't heard that song, I think, once in 15 years.
Yeah.
Wow. So shouts to them for finding a needle drop that hasn't been exploited. And the use of getting horny now as a little pop-up in the sky, I was like, nicely done.
I agree with you as a fun needle drop and a fun dance for Luther, but this comes back to one of my main frustrations with this show. It's addiction to playing an entire song in the middle of the episode.
Yeah, yep.
Agree.
Drives me insane. At a certain point, I was like, stop it. Stop playing the song. Move on. This is too long. You do not need to play all 4 minutes of this song. 2 minutes max.
They're good at the needle drop, but they need to work on the needle pickup. Just need to pick that needle up.
Yep.
No, I like it. They're confident in their music.
They are. The other thing I was going to say is, how about Diego with his piss bottle driving?
Oh, man. You guys feel Diego. That?
How did that not come back? That was the weirdest part to me, because it was like, this is such a weird, gross detail that you're throwing in here, that Diego pisses in a bottle and throws it back in the truck, and then we don't see it again.
Oh, we'll see it again.
I bet we see it.
You think so? Somebody's going to try to drink it or something?
That's the constant threat. Have you guys ever peed into a bottle in a car?
What I've learned from doing a podcast with you for many years is I shouldn't answer this question. I should ask you, hey, Justin, it seems like you have a story you would like to share. So please, by all means.
I have done it, but I'm just saying there's no story. I was just trying to pull the room. It seems like maybe the weird one.
It seems like maybe there's a...
I'm looking for, like the Umbrella Academy, I'm trying to find some sort of found family moment here between us where are we piss bottle brothers or are we not?
I don't think I'm a piss bottle brother. I'm sorry.
I mean, I've been on long trips. You know what I mean?
Okay, like, and?
You know, so, you know, but, you know, that's a real thing for FedEx drivers is they got to, you know, and people who work at Amazon, you know, mm-hmm. it's a sad fact that, you know, sometimes
they
got to
do that. And that's,
I think,
what they're getting at.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there was a movie about that, Nomadland.
Yeah. That's right.
I don't think that's what it was about, but okay.
It wasn't about specifically peeing in bottles. At least not the version I saw.
No, I remember that. That was the whole movie. It's great. Yes, I like Diego in this episode. I think the tension between him and Lila is interesting. Plays off of everything we know about the couple. The whole conversation about East Side pinatas versus
the pinata
West Side
thing was just so funny. And the fact that Luther got frustrated and goes, all right, I'm going in. Like, he's going to save the day and break open this pinata. Oh, just so great.
And before that, the other, the Ben being going to jail for crypto Web3 stuff, I thought was a great sort of topical detail to put in there. And he is so miserable. Is he going to become a more friendly Ben? A gentle Ben.
Well, that's what we need is a better Ben for sure. But I also think that the title of this episode and then the moment that Diego has at this insane kid's birthday party, which, you know, probably is just a Tuesday for you guys, but like that place
My kids celebrate
insane.
Their birthdays every Tuesday. You're correct.
Okay, cool. Well,
that's why your son's like 107, right?
Yeah, congratulations.
Too many candles. I'm going broke on candles, man.
Yeah.
But that's the thing of like, he's got the happy ending. He has the greatest life and, you know, it's still miserable for him.
Diego?
So,
he's pretty miserable throughout. He's spying on his wife. I mean,
and
yes, she
thing,
is lying
but
to
he
him,
has but. The happy ending. That's what I thought, like, the title
of
the episode
I don't
is.
I don't think it's necessarily the happy ending so much. What they got was freedom from the Umbrella Academy, and that's what they wanted all the time. They were like, I don't want these powers anymore. I don't want to have to work for Dad. Leave me alone. And they don't have it, and they got that. So now they can lead normal lives, but none of them are doing great. I mean, I will say Victor seems to be doing pretty well, other than the fact that he's constantly getting slapped by people. But, like, he owns a bar.
Well, but Victor seems the least happy.
Yeah, Victor is miserable. What are you talking about? I mean, sure, he owns a bar, and that's a pretty sweet, you know, setup. But
he's not pissy. He's not a piss bottle, brother.
Right. I mean, you don't know that.
You don't know
bars that. Bars are expensive.
It's a long
man.
Drive. Victor talked about how long the drive is. You don't know.
Good point. Nova Scotia.
I do have questions about where everybody is living and how fast they can get to the places they're living, because there seems to be a lot of portal travel going on.
I'm sorry, Alex, but we as a culture have moved on from distances mattering in our content. Have you watched Star Wars? Have you watched MCU? Have you watched anything? Everyone be traveling. I will say I do think the scene in the indoor amusement park place, I was getting, it was such like just network drama. It was like This Is Us except with all these people. I don't know, Pete, you're a This Is Us watcher, so
that's right. And I'm rewatching it with the new podcast that's going on. So
is it called This Was Us Cuss?
Nope. No, This Was.
This Was Us?
Yeah.
Oh. Is it called This Was Us?
Not. You're saying it fast and making it sound like it's the, you're almost saying Mike Wazowski, which is kind of funny.
This Was Wazowski. Us.
Mike Wazowski.
Is the podcast called Mike Wazowski?
Yeah, I think that's
is it
exactly
hosted by Mike Wazowski? Mm-hmm. And just as a follow-up, where in the Monsters continuity is it? Is it post-Monsters
Inc.?
It's between and Monsters Inc. Because Monsters U brings you like almost right up to the beginning of Monsters Inc. So that's
true,
surprising.
Almost.
Wow, crazy that they can thread the continuity of the Monster series like that.
Yeah.
And Monsters at Work, do those characters play in at all?
One thing I want to talk about is the Diego in the van thing is heartbreaking because you know, it seems like she's not cheating on him. She's doing detective work, which is something they both love to do together. It just sucks that, you know, they're lying to each other. And, you know, Diego, who is kind of like dropping hints around her, was hysterical. I love them together even when they're fighting, but it's still, you know, it's you feel a little bit bad for Diego for sure.
Well, In general, I think Lila's such a great addition. Of all the characters that they could have pulled through all these seasons into the show, I think she fits so well. I really like her in this, and she's just a part of it to the end, so that's great. Though I wanted to say there is one character, unless you want to say something about Lila.
No. You might be touching on what I was about to bring up.
Allison.
Yes.
Is Allison still a character we can like here? Because she's put herself on the outs, and all the things that have happened have made her like harder to get behind.
Yeah.
And Luther is still just, he's just like a kid. He's fun. He's pure energy. God, he still has a thing for her.
Yeah.
It's great. But is she has she gone too far in the past?
I don't think the show is treating it that way, but I definitely had a moment of, when the Luther Allison scene showed up, because for anybody who doesn't remember from the previous season, Allison essentially sexually assaulted Luther by rumoring him. And it's something that the show didn't really deal with very well, if I remember, in the season.
Or at all, really.
What they are dealing with here is more about Allison making a deal with Reginald Hargreaves to reboot the universe, and then rebooting the universe, and now they're trapped in there. And that feels to me, that's the thing that, like, everybody's like, I don't love Allison, and Allison is nervous about. Luther, meanwhile, I don't think they're even going to refer to that. They're not even going to talk about that event at all, which is too bad, because it's very much on my mind when I'm watching this stuff.
Agreed. So that's why I feel like, can she really get back to a spot where we can back that romance, or like, I don't know.
I don't know if we can back that romance. And I certainly, to your point, felt they were going that route, but he also name drops Sloan and talks about like, I wish we had that or something along those lines. So I don't know, whatever it is. I think it's much more about her getting back with the family than anything. I would love to see, we didn't really, you know, Victor was kidnapped or whatever, but we didn't get any good Allison Victor time, and they have such a connection. That's what I want to see over Allison and Luther at this point.
Right. But I do, remind me, Luther almost got married or did get married?
He did get married.
Yeah, he did get married to Sloane, and then
what happened?
The Sparrow Academy all died, and when they rebooted the universe, I guess we don't know whether they got rebooted too or not.
I'm pulling for Sloane and Luther.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. It's surprising they didn't deal with that at all. There was also what seemed like two Bens. If you remember, there was Ben walking away in 2019, and then we got that end credit scene with a separate Ben on the train. I don't know. And there's enough time in there that it feels like we could have popped up with doubles of everybody, and that's what we're dealing with, but I guess not.
Also, we get a Ben battle?
The Ben at the end here, who had the fun line of "see you on the other side, fuck faces," as he just drank the marigold straight.
And he had given them; they all got the marigold in the shot.
In the shot, right. Maybe. I mean, well, that's what we're led to. Yeah, he was taking it straight, not mixing it with the liquor. Just
it was weird
marigold.
That they all sat down at what is essentially a Benihana, and then were like, "We gotta go before the food comes."
But he hasn't even flipped the shrimp tail into his hat. You can't leave before that. That's fucked up.
I agree. Disrespectful.
Yeah. You sit down at hibachi and like one man's going to sit there and eat that shocking amount of fried rice that guy's working his ass off, flipping that egg around, catching it on the side, breaking it so it opens up. No shells in there. Mixing it up. Everyone gets an onion volcano. What are we doing here, Academy?
Dude, we've all been there. We all know what you're talking about.
I'm disgusted by this Academy.
That's why it's the umbrella effect. No Academy yet.
What else have we? We didn't talk about Five too much. Always great to see him.
The mustache was hysterical.
Six stash, and by that I mean ill. Yuck.
But very funny. What? I don't know. His whole costume being like, I'm a 1930s newsboy, I thought it was very funny. And I don't know what his motivation is at this point, because like I said, they should be like, yes, Gene, you are correct, versus working against them as part of the CIA. So I don't know what's going on with him yet, but
his whole thing is being sneak. And so I think he's like, how can I sneak around? He can't just come straight at it. But also, you take one look at Gene and you're like, these people are tricky. Mm-hmm. They shot that guy and his head was so big it bled too much at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah. And they play euchre, the most disgusting and terrifying thing beings can do.
It's just here's the thing. It's face cards, nines and tens.
My fault again.
You use the fives to score. And it's just taking three tricks.
You need to score.
But you get double points if you take all five.
I'll take it out. And when I say
and you can shoot the moon, and deep people have different rules.
Shoot the moon?
I'll take shoot the moon? What are you talking about?
Shoot the moon?
Come on.
Common thing in both euchre and comic books.
Common thing.
I love the line, what are you, a Greek serial killer?
Yeah, Lila that was hysterical.
Lila wins again.
Yeah. Any other notes from the episode? Other things we should talk about? I guess, what do you think the cleanse is at this point? They mentioned the cleanse during their presentation. They say there's going to be a further presentation. That seems like a big mystery coming out of the episode. Any guesses?
To me, it's just like they're going to get rid of everybody and start.
I think it's
again.
A Kool-Aid situation where they're just killing people because David Cross's daughter, I think, is unfortunately a victim to the genes.
She got Kool-Aided?
Yeah.
It just seems to me, I know they didn't describe it, but it seems to me that it's like, yeah, we're going to wipe out this timeline and go back to the original timeline. And to me, once again, they seem to be in the right here because that's what's supposed to happen. But
why? No, I think the point is deal with the world you're in, guys. Mm. I think like everyone longs for something else. The Umbrella Academy wanted to not be the Umbrella Academy. They got that. Now they're all longing for something else. These people are longing for something that they don't really know about. They just know there's something else out there. So all the sad things in their lives, it feels like an escape to them. But I think the point here is like, be happy with what's happening. You jump to another timeline, you're going to be mad about something else there.
Yeah.
So that to me, the lesson, the cleanse feels like, we're getting rid of the bad stuff. But no, you're getting rid of everything. And then you're going to get other stuff that is bad and also good.
Grass is always greener. I will also mention, depending on how they go with it, this seems very similar, and I know you guys probably didn't watch this, but I believe it was the last season of Superman and Lois did a whole plot line about Earth 2, Bizarro Earth, and people having visions of that and being like forming this whole cult, getting back there and wiping away and merging both Earths. So I don't know. Maybe that is just it's a sci-fi trope, mind you, but it would be interesting to see whether it ends up being the exact same thing. And it's just a side effect of this taking 2 years to come out.
So, yeah.
We'll the well. Podcast is called That Was Us. Just to be clear, I'd look that up.
All right.
Wow. It took you a full half hour.
Yeah. Yep. Anything else y'all want to mention?
I'm just excited to have this show back. It's super fun. Crazy first issue. This show sets a high bar, so it'll be interesting to see if all these last episodes are bangers. I hope that they are. And it's weird because I don't know where to go with Klaus. I'm so happy he's here, but he's so afraid of life. It's almost heartbreaking. But it'll be interesting to see what happens with Klaus, man.
He's the only hero left. He's a crossing guard.
Yeah, the real heroes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Before we wrap up here, I think this is what we do on this podcast. Who got top marks this episode at the Podcademy? Pete, who are you giving top marks to?
I'm going to have to go with number five. He's pushing the team. He was like, hey, give us 24 hours. We'll solve this. He's working the CIA beat. He's working these truthers or whoever they are. And
keepers.
Sorry. And so it's one of those things where I feel like at least he's moving things forward and, trying to get to the bottom of stuff, which I appreciate.
Justin, what about you? Who gets top marks this episode?
I give it up for my man Luther. He's still having fun. He's got the right energy. He's sleek. He's ready to go. He is embodying the philosophy that I think the show is going to leave us with at the end.
Do you think we'll see the old Luther with the gorilla body?
I think we're going to get a next episode where he's busting out all over, and it's going to be like a fun transformation moment.
Ooh.
Since you chose Luther, I'm going to change it up from what I usually do here on the podcast and give it up for Klaus as my top marks.
That's right. You never do that.
New, fresh thing.
Wow.
That
you never do that.
Even though
you're
he's
rut,
down,
Doug.
I love Robert Sheehan. He's so funny in this part. Everything that he does, from tentatively walking across the street to everything being bubble wrapped, great stuff. And Saki doesn't count was probably the line
of
the episode.
He has so many great, just
so good.
Yeah.
If you'd like to support this podcast and all the podcasts, we do patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Facebook and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about the Umbrella Academy, Apple, Spotify, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show at Comic Book Live on Twitter/X, Comic Book Club Live on TikTok and Instagram, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, class dismissed.
Honestly, you walk out of a hibachi before he's flipped a shrimp into your mouth, you're an absolute monster. That's a superhero on Stop that grill. That's a superhero work in that grill.
Stop pissing in jars, Justin.
I will never stop.